Okay, I'd like to call the coordinating committee meeting to order on June 1st at 5:12 p.m. Can we go ahead and do a roll call?
Yep. Wendy Schrell?
Here.
Ambrose Lane? Ambrose? I'll come back to you. Dave Adelson here. Sadi Saba?
Here.
Julie Rodriguez?
Here.
Ray LaForest? Not here. Mark Roberts? Not here. And Ambrose Lane?
Here.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, and Lonnie Hicks, I'm sorry.
Oh, you know. Okay, go
ahead. That's a yes. We have a quorum.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number 1, which would be approval of the agenda.
I'd like
to move.
Second.
Okay.
Is it appropriate for me to try to add an information item, discussion item?
Sure.
Well, you know, the last thought about do we have an ED is an issue. And as officers of the board, maybe we should have this on this agenda to discuss, because we're in a sort of limbo situation. Maybe it's a short discussion might be appropriate.
What is the form of the motion?
Well, I move that the coordinating committee and its officers discuss the current situation where around the interim ED and executive director.
Would it be appropriate for you to add a time limit to that?
Well, it feels like we ought to have some discussion. 15, 20 minutes. I just have questions. I want to take the sense of the group as to how people feel.
Okay.
15 or 20. Take your pick.
I'll take 20.
Okay, 20. I'll second that.
Would that come after transition team oversight or after information request?
Yeah, I was going to put it after item number 7.
Okay, so after new information request. Okay.
Yes.
Item number 7 is meeting adjourned on my agenda. Did we add another?
Yes, we did. I apologize. item number 7 is the information request, and the meeting adjourned is number 8. We add the status on pending requests.
Well, I would suggest going up around the PNB Berkeley meeting, because that meeting has to be organized. And, you know, the leadership of the, you know, how that meeting gets organized will hit item number 3 and item number 4.
Okay, are there any objections?
Before or after Berkeley PNB meeting?
How about before?
Okay.
That's possible. That's how we get that meeting done is, you know, related to this question.
Okay, are there
okay
any
so the motion is that we discuss the interim ED situation for 20 minutes prior to item, current item 5, Berkeley PNB meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any objections to that motion? Hearing none, we will go ahead and adopt that as part of the agenda. Is there any further discussion on the agenda?
Julie?
Yes.
Can we ask who just joined the call?
I just came back.
Hi.
I'm having problems with the cell phone.
That one sounds great.
Okay. Ambrose, just to bring you up to speed, Lonnie has injected a new agenda item to discuss the issue of interim ED prior to the PNB meeting in Berkeley discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just asking if there were any objections to that.
None whatsoever.
Okay.
It's a question of who's in charge.
So I will now entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections to approving the amended agenda? Hearing none, we will now move to agenda item number 2, which is approval of the minutes, which Dave sent out.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any objections to accepting the minutes? Alrighty, hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 3, which is setting the next meeting date or dates. Looking at the calendar, we now have a number of items on our plate, including the transition team oversight, which would probably necessitate more frequent meetings on the part of the coordinating committee. It does, the motion that we had passed last night at the PMB meeting does require that we meet prior to in-person meetings and teleconference meetings of the PNB. So do we want to go ahead and set another meeting prior to the PNB meeting in Berkeley on the 18th and 19th?
Yeah, actually, there's also a meeting of the PNB on the 13th of June, and that will be when the PNB will discuss will be presented with different search firms possibilities. So do we even want to meet prior to that? Or do you think this would suffice? This would suffice, do you think? I mean, I'm just throwing that out here.
Mm-hmm. I would think that this would suffice, since one of our discussion items is a transition team oversight, which we can address at that next PNB meeting. But that only gives us a week between the teleconference and the in-person meeting. So I'm not sure that we can meet prior to our in-person meeting.
Then I think we should meet sometime before the Berkeley meeting, if possible. Since the PNB is meeting on the 13th, they may give us a plate of something to work on, so the 14th or the 15th. Tuesday or Wednesday, is that bad day for any of the stations?
Hang on, let me go over to the PA calendar.
Well, this is Wendy. I'm looking at it right now. Assuming everybody's filled in their meetings, there's nothing on the 14th. That would be seeming to be a good day. 15th has an audit committee scheduled for 8 o'clock. Nothing on the 16th.
16th people will be traveling.
Oh, I'm already right. Thank you.
Okay, so since the 14th seems to work for our schedules as well as the rest
also
of the city.
Julie, there's also the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And 10th of June.
I'm unavailable the 10th. The other dates do work for me. Is there any preferences from members of the committee?
14th.
7th, 8th, or 9th are fine with me, and so is the 14th.
Okay.
14th.
I heard the 14th.
This is Wendy. I would only say that whatever happens at our next meeting will likely not be enough. So, we could legally post a meeting today and have it be for the 8th or for the 9th. So I just want to keep that out there. I mean,
we want to meet after the 13th, don't we?
What happens on the 13th?
Friday?
On the 13th, we have a PNB meeting where the PNB will be presented with a different variety of firms, search firms, and the PNB will select one of them, a couple of search firms, for the resolution that was passed yesterday.
Okay, well, we have to really make sure that we all know that that's happening, because that's not on this calendar, and I know we haven't posted it yet, so we need to post that meeting of the PNB for the 13th. And so now where are we, the 14th?
Yeah, I'm going to make a couple of recommendations that we establish meetings for June 14th and June 28th of this month, just kind of thinking ahead and knowing that we are going to have work
good
for the
idea.
Committee.
Second
great.
And fourth Tuesday?
Second
is that?
Yes, it's the second and the fourth Tuesday.
Excellent.
Okay.
So can I ask
at 5
you, Madam Chair?
At 5 p.m. Pacific again?
Yep.
Yes.
Now, can I ask you, Madam Chair, is this second and fourth Tuesday of each month?
I'd like to go ahead and set it for the June calendar and wait on it for... Well, I mean, how do Tuesdays work for folks? I know it was a conflict for William, which was initially why we hadn't regularly scheduled meetings for Tuesdays. So,
it's
but if Tuesdays seem to work for folks, then I'm fine scheduling the second and the fourth Tuesday.
I'm just worried about things coming up too many months out. But yeah, why don't we do it for June and July, and then we'll deal with the other stuff later.
Okay.
So you're saying second Tuesday, so that would be in July, that would be the 12th and the 26th?
Yes. So if there aren't any objections to that?
Okay, so Tuesday, June 14th, Tuesday, June 25th, Tuesday...
I wouldn't be able to make the 12th, but you shouldn't hold up because of that.
Wait a minute. You said, okay, Tuesday, June 14th, and then the 28th, right?
Yeah. Tuesday, June 28th, Tuesday, July 12th, and Tuesday, July 26th.
Okay, I'm looking at the calendar right now, so I'm going to go ahead and mark them out for us, okay?
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Since you're chair, I'll move that.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda item number 4. Which is the status on pending requests. There is a request that was put forth by Dave Adelson to receive updates on the Pacifica Tuner project, and we needed to get a status on that. I know, Dave, you had sent an email out about that.
Yeah, I haven't. Dan and Lonnie were going to send us what information they had in memo form, and then I was going to respond if more was needed. I haven't received that yet, I assume, because they're busy with other things.
Okay. Lonnie, is there maybe a time frame that we can put on this that's realistic, considering everything that the national office is
Dan says he's finishing up the report.
Okay.
And he'll get it out as soon as possible. I think his timeline is running shorter and shorter, so he'll have to finish it.
Okay. So can we anticipate, I guess, by...
I'm guessing that it'll be no later than a week.
No later than a week?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and set the June 14th deadline, just since that's our next meeting?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that amenable to you, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Fine.
Okay. Great. And then the second pending request was the KPFK management evaluation.
Yeah, I spoke to the committee. They said they have not yet received any of the information they've requested.
Okay.
Hey, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan, welcome.
How you doing? I just joined the call. I just heard you talking about this. I'm just popping in real quick. Dave, on that, I did talk to our attorneys. Our attorneys have advised that kind of information is confidential and that we'd have to handle it in a different way. So I don't know how you all want to do it, but and I know board members want to have that discussion too.
May I respond?
Yeah.
So they were asking, I think, in part for a prior evaluation, and they, I think, they wanted to see the forms partly that were used for the evaluation, and then the evaluation itself. And they had said that they would sign confidentiality agreements of the sort that the various search committees signed if necessary. So are those confidentiality agreements enough to take care of it, or is more required? And while we talk, I'll pull up the original request so I can be specific about what was in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't get down to that kind of level of detail. But I think what this question poses is really an urgent need for a global policy by the board on how these evaluations are going to be conducted, given the different levels of accountabilities and responsibilities of the LSB and of the national officer of the ED. That's what needs to happen here, Dave. We have to have a standard board policy on how these evaluations are going to happen. It is no good, and I don't think it does the institution any good, to have separate, five separate evaluations
of using completely different standards and completely different criteria in five different signal areas. We need board policy on that. We've submitted, the general managers and I have submitted, you know, several times, recommended policy on how these processes should happen, and I'm hopeful that maybe the KPFK LSB personnel committee and other committees might come together and decide how exactly we're going to do this. Because there's also another issue about where the LSB can evaluate a general manager on what criteria that ought to be. For instance, is it going to be operational issues or is it going to be on policy issues? Given the division of roles and responsibilities and accountabilities between the LSB and the executive director, I think you have to be, you know, that division has to be clearly delineated. In some ways, the ED can evaluate whether or not a general manager is fulfilling their responsibilities regarding their policy relations with the LSB. Only the LSB can do that. Similarly, can the LSB properly evaluate a general manager on, you know, day-to-day operational issues? Probably not. That should be the purview of the ED. But for now, though, I can't, just going back to the particulars, give up, or the legal opinion says we can't give up that past evaluation of a general manager to the LSB.
Okay, and who is the attorney who you spoke to? Is it our foundation counsel? Is it someone else?
Yeah, Squire and Sanders folks.
Okay, Squire
and Sanders.
Sanders.
That we use in these matters.
Dan, this is Wendy. Can you just explain the expertise of, because I'm unclear as to who the foundation attorneys are. So Squire and Sanders advises us on what?
Wait, before you do that, I want to be sure I have this down. Dan, I'm writing that the attorneys indicated that that information is confidential and cannot be provided to the committee without board policy on the topic? Just tell me what I need to write down.
Yeah, that information is confidential.
That and cannot be provided to the committee at this time, or?
Yeah, you could say that.
And cannot be provided to the
confidential information, and I can't disclose that.
Okay.
And Wendy,
and just so everyone knows, I'm sorry, Julie.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Can I speak?
Yeah.
The substantive portion of the request was request from Pacifica National Office the general manager's most recent job description, as well as the recommendations, including time frame, given to her following her last evaluation. That was the request.
What? Say that again, Dave?
Eva's most recent job description.
Yeah, you've got
which
that.
Which you already provided, I believe. As well as the recommendations, including time frame, given to her following her last evaluation.
Goals? You're talking about goals?
Yeah, whatever it was said that she needed to do.
Yeah, that's part of the evaluation.
Right.
So one of the questions that I have, and Wendy, I know that you're on the stack, so I'll recognize you next, but I wanted to kind of do a gut check with the PNB folks and where we're at with our personnel committee, because it seems like this is more of a personnel committee issue than it is a coordinating committee. I know that it is still an information request, but especially as Dan has articulated, this is something that involves broader board policy. So that's something that I'd like us to answer once Wendy's finished. So, Wendy?
Are you asking me what the
person... No. I know that you had wanted to speak. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm just wanted to get clarification from Dan. On what the expertise of this firm, you said it's Squire and Sanders. So they advise us on employment issues, is that right?
Actually, a variety of issues. Wendy, they were hired back with the old IPNB in early 2002 to handle a whole variety of different issues for us, including litigation matters around the professional service firms a few years ago. So they handled, just a variety of issues that we were dealing with back in 2002. They also handle employment matters, and they handle some issues around litigation for us in the past. That's one firm. We have other firms that we use to handle different matters, such as FCC issues is handled, as you know, by a firm in D.C. We also have a firm in New York that handles some specific union-related issues for us, and employment matters and other matters that the board has used the services of that attorney. We've also, you know, we hired different sets of attorneys to handle other specific issues, so it really varies, but I would say, you know, comprehensively, we have quite a number of different attorneys that Pacifica turns to for a variety of different issues. But there is not, at this point, one, as you would be interested in, one corporate counsel. I have a recommendation to make in that regard, and that was something that we were supposed to deal with, I think, at latest in New York at the New York PNB meeting, but for a variety of reasons, we never got around to doing that. So I'm sure the next time the board agendizes that issue, then we can move forward with that. But
that would be great. Can I just ask you one more thing? With Squire and Sanders, you said that they have been working for us for a long time. Were they advising us on this decision strategies thing?
At one point they were, yes.
Okay. All right, thanks, Dan.
There's another firm that we hired to deal with that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray. How are you
doing? Sorry, I was at a meeting and I decided I would come into a room and join you guys, and there's a party outside. How do I mute the phone?
Star six.
Thank you.
So one of the questions that I have is where we're at with the personnel committee for the PNB and who was selected as convener of that committee. Does anyone recall?
I'm on that committee, and Star Brindala was the convener that was named by the chair of the board for that committee. It has not gotten off to a good start. What happened was that person had never convened the committee for whatever reason, and then another member of the committee said, "This is too much, I'm going to convene it." And a lot of the members came to a meeting, and some of them didn't. And then we tried to have another kind of when it was so confusing at the New York meeting, it was thought that perhaps it could convene. And then there was arguments about that at the time because it wasn't properly noticed. So we have yet to have a meaningful meeting with all the members of that committee, but that is going to stop now.
Okay, because again, I do think that this is an issue that they need to address, and I do realize and appreciate that it's taken a while for the KPFK management evaluation team to get a response from us.
Hello, I have to call back, okay? Sorry.
All right, thanks, Ray.
Okay.
So, I don't know, what are people's thoughts in terms of moving forward with the KPFK management evaluation request?
Well, Julie,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important for us to basically establish what kinds of things those committees can and can't do in the way Dan talked about it, and particularly what information they can get access to. We have had a practice in the past of having committees like, for example, the search committees for our GM and PD that sign, and I know KPFT has had people that sign confidentiality agreements, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that it's, you know, fairly meaningless for a committee to be able to do an evaluation without access to prior evaluations. So that Dan's question is a reasonable one of if the ED is doing an evaluation, do the boards have, and, you know, is that something that gets factored into the board's functions? But the review of the manager is something that's defined in the bylaws and the review by the LSB is defined in the bylaws, and it's one of the most important functions of the LSB in terms of their oversight and their relationship to the station. So I don't think that we should be leaving them in limbo. I think, and I know that they are sort of frustrated and in limbo on this point. They'd like to do something that's concrete and moves that moves the process. I also know that KPFT has done quite a bit on that front. They've actually moved quite far in terms of what their committee's doing, and I got the impression they were sort of exemplary in that way. So maybe...
what does that mean, Dave?
Well, that they've actually accomplished a couple of evaluations. They've come to agreements with the manager about standards for performance. They have a monitoring system in place, and it seems all to be, working well. And
did they get the prior evaluation?
Well, that's I would guess not. But Wendy probably knows.
Well, yeah. So we didn't think to ask for that. As Dave said, the KPFT board did complete. We're the only board within the network to complete the evaluations of the GM and the PD during the last year. We've got much cooperation from both of them on this, and once those evaluations were completed, we got, the go-ahead to make the results public to anybody who wanted to know how did your evaluation go, what did you find, what were the goals you set, and we did all that, and it worked out quite well, and then once that happened, the same committee continued, because it was thought that if you're going to set these goals and go through all this hard work, it was very hard work, somebody should be monitoring to see how that all worked out after the board decided some things they wanted to see. So that's where we're at now, is monitoring the progress. Now, we've had a staff change during that time, so, and I have to say that one thing that is kind of cool, even though we have a whole new person who wasn't evaluated by that process, he is going by the guidelines set by the evaluation on the last program director. So it is working out pretty well. And since I still have the floor, I would just like to say that the whole thing for the whole network is moot because we don't have a standardized procedure for everybody isn't really fair. I mean, we're charged by the bylaws in that every LSB has to evaluate their managers. So we can't just not do it because somebody says, well, you have to do it the same for everybody. Each station is unique. We're told that all the time. We can't have the same guidelines for every station because our audiences are so different. I disagree with Dan that we can't move forward unless we have a standardized procedure, I guess. But I do want to applaud the KPFT board for doing as much as they did.
Really?
Well, one of the things, one second, Dave, I'll recognize you right now, but one of the things that I just want to bring to light is that this hasn't impeded the management evaluation process for K at this point. I understand that having this information would be more valuable to their work and the process, but it's not an impediment to them doing an evaluation. They've conducted one. And actually today is the drop-dead deadline for receiving those evaluations, so the process is still moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd just like to know where we put this. You mentioned the personnel committee. I'd like to, know where we put this so that we can say committees are authorized to get so-and-so. Bang, end of story. And then I think the personnel committee... I don't know whether we need to form the policy right now or whether we need to wait until things get asked by the local committees to actually have rulings. One possibility is the governance committee might deal with this. Another is the personnel committee. What do you think, Ambrose?
This has already been dealt with except for one item, and that is prior evaluations. And it seemed to me, as I recall, the person who has been evaluated should have the right to say whether or not that should be available. That's always been the case for the last 20 years, for the concern. If that person doesn't want that evaluation exposed, then he or she shouldn't have to do it.
But then how do you deal with... the fact that board members turn over, and so the question is, well, this board wants to look at whether the person has met the performance objectives that were set by the prior evaluation.
Well, what we normally do is set our own criteria for evaluation and evaluate based on performance. I mean, you're talking about going back and getting old records. If the person wants to make those records available, fine. But personnel do have rights.
If I could just add one thing, Julie.
Uh-huh.
I think that for KPFK to be asking for this means that they're really doing a good job, and it's unfortunate if they are not allowed to do the best job that they can. I don't see it as any kind of a witch hunt or anything. I think it is trying to do their job the best they can and help their manager as much as they can. So it's just a comment. It's nothing, neither here nor there. But
Julie?
I'm sorry.
Yes, Dave? Sorry, were you done? Were you finished, Wendy?
I
personally think that the value and impact of an evaluation is greater if somebody knows that, you know, that what comes out of that is something that gets carried forward in time, so people look back at it. Otherwise, the loop's never closed. I guess we're going to be hiring an HR person.
Right.
And I think one of the things we might do is request that the HR person provide us with information on the standard practice and make a recommendation for how best to have continuity among evaluations. And so maybe we let this end until we have staff who can deal with it.
Good idea.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Do you want to put that in the form of a motion at this point?
Yeah, let me hold on just a second. Let me get down there. I'm going to move that now. Interesting question of whether this is something we do or that we recommend that the board. So I'll put in a motion and somebody fix it. Move that the PNV request that upon hiring the HR director, the national HR director draft guidelines for LSB access to information job evaluations. LSB access to job evaluations of management of managers.
Well, David and Julie, can I say something?
Yes.
It just seems that one of the biggest problems with our system that we've got going on here is that the terms of the Pacifica National Board was made 1 year, and that sort of ensures that nobody really has the continuity in order to carry these things through. The local boards are elected for 3 years, and so that's a good thing. They can pursue it longer. But what Dave's saying makes sense. If we're going to hire somebody who specializes in this field, for them to recommend guidelines, I think, is a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me speak to Lonnie here.
Lonnie?
Well, I think that they're looking for an HR person to provide input on that does make sense. But I think that that will not solve some of the basic issues. Let me just describe how I've seen it done. You've got shared responsibility for the GM between the LSBs and the executive director. The executive director, the question is, how do we get continuity out of a shared responsibility model? Well, the way I've seen it done is that the LSB, working with the general manager, will look at what the general goals are for the station. It's part of the planning process. In that model, the general manager identifies what goals he or she has. The LSB is aware of those goals and the benchmarks, and the two work together toward achieving them on the policy level, on the, or let's call it the strategic planning level. the issue of the GMs and the GMs' goals internally on strictly the operational side and on operational policy side is the purview of the executive director and the general manager, because the general manager must live in both worlds, the policy world of the LSB and the operational side of the station. Now, what happens if they get commingled? What happens if they get confused? You've all heard that argument before. Well, you lose accountability. Who's responsible? Say a general manager is given 6 goals by the GM and 20 goals by the LSB. Who does he or she follow? So there has to be separation of responsibilities and coordination, because otherwise, if I'm a GM and I've got 10 things my ED is telling me and 20 things my LSB is telling me, they never get together to prioritize which ones are most important for me, then nothing's going to get done. The GM will get all convoluted and there'll be conundrums. And so I think that it's wise, and I've seen it done times, they have a clear separation of responsibilities. Now, an HR person will step in, and the really good ones are going to say, you got to make up your mind who's accountable for what. Then I'll do policy. So that would be my only comment on that.
Dave?
Well, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, the point's a good one. So you've got two different groups that are evaluating you, and the key question that Dan raised, I mean, I assume that the LSB has access and can keep its own records, so the LSB members would have access to prior LSB evaluations. The question is, what's the crossover between that? And because the bylaws specify, you know, dual oversight, you do have a little bit of a policy question there. I would argue that since ultimately it's the PNB's oversight role ultimately over the management, and since the LSBs are committees of the PNB that are doing local work, that they should have access to the management stuff, because just as Bonnie said, if they're coming up with a bunch of standards that are, well, first of all, I think they need to know what the standards are being applied to their local manager by national. I think we are running into problems if, you know, the local boards don't know what the manager is being held accountable for by their supervisor. So, you know, I do think we need to get to work this out. Like Lonnie says, you got to know what's the chain of responsibility, and it may be that the board needs to clarify this issue in policy, because without that policy, you know, you can make the argument either whether you think certain you should have access to certain things or not. So you have to decide whether or not the LSB has any role in a sense checking or being knowledgeable about the supervisory demands.
Julie?
Yes, Amber.
It seems to me that what we need, and we've avoided it for a long time, the standard evaluation criteria for the general managers and for the ED. Why? Because the general managers have to be evaluated by the LSB as well as the ED. The ED has to be evaluated by the LSBs as well as PNB. So there has to be standard evaluation criteria across the platform, and that's what the human resources person ought to be charged with doing, developing that, and everybody uses the same evaluation criteria.
This is Wendy. I was part of the special personnel committee last year, and one of my concerns was, you know, we asked the ED to be sure to have his GMs evaluated by a certain date. And the way that was working, I was just going, man, we can't be having the boards evaluating them and the EDs evaluating them and have these people in perpetual evaluation. So, yes, of course, it does make sense to have some standard things. And I think that, you know, we have a chance now to have a more collaborative relationship with some change in personnel, and I think that's a great thing. And so I would urge us all to look to the future as the board, ED, and the HR person, and everybody working in collaboration.
duly order.
This is Ray. Can I?
You're back?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody's having a good time, and I'd like to join them, but I can't. So meanwhile, they interfere with my call, so I came down. What I wanted to say, though, is that while the HR person will be handling that, I would like to know also that there are no local laws that would limit. I mean, one situation that I used to have regularly when I represented home care workers, let's say, is that this worker is at somebody's house, and if somebody's coughing around them, and they get very upset, and they call me, and they want to know what's with that person. They're not going to work in that person's house until they know that person has AIDS or if they have tuberculosis. Guess what? They don't have the right to know. The law says they cannot know. So the solution in this case is that there's something called universal precaution. So this person comes, and they, unfortunately, some clients might even mind that. They have to act as though every potential person they meet in that job could have all those things. And that's a rather clumsy solution, but the law says you don't have the right to that information. So I'm saying that, I'm assuming that when the HR person is laying out those guidelines, that they would also correspond to whatever local limitation there might be for that particular area. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Ray. I feel like we're continuing, or we're beginning to kind of go in circles around this issue, and we're in a lot of agreement, which is wonderful to hear. So the things that have been recommended are for the HR person to develop a standard evaluation criteria that works across the organization. I would add to that an organizational chart that clearly delineates roles and responsibilities at each
level
of governance and at each kind of network and who reports to who and that sort of thing, because I know that that's been something that's been somewhat confusing for myself. And so I'd like to go ahead and move the
issue
along.
You know, Julie, this is Ken. There is a standard policy, standardized network-wide evaluation policy with criteria in front of the board at this present time. It's located right up on the website, www.pacifica.org/policy. And I think that is, it's actually a substantive document rooted in Pacifica's bylaws and in standard HR practice that is an excellent starting point in which to find that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Julie?
Thanks for that info, Dan. I think that would be a good starting point for the HR director to kind of work with what's existing. Yes, Dave?
Sorry to interrupt. We passed a motion that says that that documents in our information packets will contain information on the source of the document, and I would like to see that on these web documents as well, because it says draft policy, but it doesn't say when it was drafted or by whom it was drafted. So that would be very helpful. And I would like to, I think we're at time, and we're past time, mm-hmm. and I think that you started to work on a motion, and I wanted to know what you think of the PMB request that upon hiring the National HR Director draft an organizational chart and network-wide standards for management evaluation, including criterion standards for information access for approval by the PNB.
And standard evaluation criteria for GMs and ED.
Including evaluation criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so presumably that stuff Dan's talking about would then be a platform that person would work from?
Definitely.
I'll second that, Julie.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections?
Dan, well, I'd just like to hear Dan's comment on that.
On what? On
the idea that, well, basically we asked the HR director to get it all together, to take that stuff, possibly use it as a platform. But basically the PMB is going to ask the HR director to work that stuff up for approval by the PMB.
Amendment? The request that the ED work with the HR director. Otherwise, the PMB is directly directing the HR person.
But you know what, Dave? I mean, I throw my hands up in exasperation. This is an issue that's been before the PNB with a policy document that the PNB should be dealing with and discussing, and not referring it, you know, back to some HR director who's going to fiddle with it and kick it back upstairs. You've got a document. You've got a substantive policy proposal in front of you. You need to deal with it. I don't know why we're putting it off.
If I may, I think part of it is there's not been clarity about where it's going to get dealt with, and I would think that that would be dealt with, what, by personnel committee? By governance? Whose assignment is it? And as soon as that's determined, they should start working on it.
That's for this committee to decide, but
that is an appropriate coordinating function.
It's been out there for a year.
So our job as a coordinating committee should be to make sure somebody's responsible for doing it from the board.
Fair enough.
Wendy?
Okay. Wait, before we go forward, there was an amendment by Lonnie. I didn't get it down. What is it that the PMB request, the ED
director,
PMB
work with the HR person? I think that, you know, the precedent of directing personnel directors from the PMB level is an example of the problem.
Yeah, that's a problem because the board has to fulfill its responsibility here in seizing itself of this matter. This policy has been before the board for a year. Got to be taken up by the board. You can't flip it back down to staff or some committee. Nothing will ever get done.
Okay, but that's different than Lonnie's amendment. I just wanted to get what Lonnie's amendment done.
Yeah,
you're speaking to a whole different process. Is there a second to that amendment?
Dan,
can you read it again?
I'm trying to understand what's on the website. I'm not in front of my computer.
I'm not in front of my computer either.
Is there
either.
A standard evaluation criteria for GMs and the ED on the website?
Yeah, it's got monitoring document, benchmark document, everything. A whole package proposal to how LSBs and the PNB ED should handle evaluations at the local level, at the LSB level.
I'm on that site. What I'm seeing are the following headings. Proposed communications flow and policy. ED communications.
It's not on that page. It's on the chart page.
Where's the chart page?
The gallery section. Oh, gallery.
How do I get there?
You go down to the bottom of the main web page.
Image gallery?
All the way down.
Yeah.
And you'll see...
Image gallery?
Yeah, go to Image Gallery.
Okay.
And then what do you see when you get up there?
Pacifica Photo History.
Yeah, go down, scroll down.
BAI Photos, IPMB,
scroll down.
Some of our affiliates, presentations and slideshows.
Yeah.
Presentations and slideshows.
Yeah.
Okay, album evaluation process.
There you go, and that's what's worked on by all the GMs, senior Pacifica staff. It goes through the process, the principles of the evaluation process. It goes through who is accountable for the evaluation process, the areas of LSB evaluation of a general manager, the key components of the evaluation process, the step-by-step, how it's done, goals and monitoring. Gives you a goal monitoring document, self-evaluation, the evaluations.
I'd rather do something else. I'm joining you guys soon, but...
Dave, could you forward this link on to the KPFK Management Evaluation Committee?
Yeah, I'm putting it also in the minutes.
Okay.
And I'm noting that Dan urges the board to deal with the question of approving...
That should be sent out to the entire PNB.
Well,
yeah.
These minutes
are. I've never seen that.
I would particularly point out the goal monitoring document answers the question of how you maintain that institutional memory, how you track the performance goals that have been set with benchmarks, updates that could be done every month to the LSB. So they know where all goals are in the process, what steps, what benchmarks. That's a very good document. It's been around. I helped to write it, so I'm happy to talk about it in detail if we need to.
So you're not biased at all, right, Ani?
Well, no.
I'm joking.
Well,
that it's a good document.
I work at other organizations, which is why.
May I make a request? As I'm looking at this on the web, for example, the goal monitoring document has a lot of small type that's essentially illegible. I assume this is generated from a PowerPoint. Could that be sent to the board? Because it's basically, I can't read this.
Sure. Yes. There is a, actually, the power, I'm opening it up now.
Yeah, you can click on each page and it'll
open where it says,
yeah, you can open it up and get a, and then change your view, Dave, to get a 150% or something like that. But there is a Word version of this, Word PowerPoint version. So.
Yeah, that'd be nice to have.
Yeah, that is separate, and I do have that.
What I can do, too, is email a link out to the PNB.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I've got it in our minutes. So.
It should be sent out to the entire PNB.
I send our minutes out to the entire PNB as soon as the call's over.
I mean the document.
Can you guys hear me?
Self.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yes, Wendy,
agree.
1 second. So I'll go ahead and email the link out.
Okay, great.
Okay. Yes, Wendy?
With all due respect, I can't find things on the Pacifica website when I try to look for them. And as Dan said, this has been out there for a year. Well, this version of the National Board hasn't even been in existence for a year. So, you know, I mean, I'm taking full responsibility for a lot of this stuff because I get 250 emails a day and only 20 of them are spam. So I just want to say that, you know, the National Board is all volunteer. We've been without a functional secretary for most of this year. And so if there's stuff that's important to the foundation, it seems like people that work there could remind the National Board what their policies are that they would like them to be approved. In other nonprofits, it works like that the staff actually, there's been a level of confusion going on since I've been on the National Board. And so if there's something that is so important as evaluating your managers that the paid staff thinks needs to happen, it would be really helpful to send it out in an email again and even ask for it to be put on the agenda of the National Board. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate the hard job that the ED and the national staff and everybody has to do because it's a very complicated organization. But to just say, oh, we'll find it on the website, well, we can't even see who's on the National Board on the website. If you can tell if you know how to get there. But the listeners and whoever regulates us and everybody else can't find this stuff. So anyway, it would be real helpful for reminders is what I'm trying to say.
We have a question from Dan.
Yeah.
Did you send that information to us before, besides putting it on the website?
Repeatedly, many, many times. I'm really surprised to hear what Wendy's saying. But, you know, I got no problem sending it again and alerting you all to it again. It's been something that's been part of board packets routinely. It's been the subject of many different emails in the past, but
somebody's reading it. 971 people have read it.
No, you guys. I mean, I'm not saying. I know your frustration, Dan. When you write up all this important stuff and then you don't know if anybody ever read it or not, that's got to really be painful. But you know. My main point is that I can't find stuff on the website, and I'm on the National Board, and I'm supposed to know this stuff. So I would never think to go to an image gallery to find an important policy document about the foundation.
Point of order?
Yes, Dave?
We've got a motion and an amendment, and we're past time.
Thank you for highlighting that. I think we should go ahead and move to a vote on all these issues because, again, we're continuing to go in circles. I understand people's frustrations on many levels, but now that we've found the document, we're going to make it accessible to the PNB, and it's something that we'll work on moving forward.
There was not a second to Lonnie's amendment.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody wants to second it now.
Well, can I state it? Is
the amendment again?
Let me read it as I have it, and then if I've got it wrong, you can... you can correct me, Lonnie, but the PNB requests that the ED work with the National HR Director to draft an org chart and network-wide standards for management evaluation, including evaluation criteria and standards for information access for approval by the PMB.
That's the amendment?
The amendment was the part on that the ED work with the HR director rather than having the PMB direct the HR director.
Seconded.
I think it's up, yeah.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded. Can we go ahead to a vote on the amendment? Is there anyone opposed to the amendment?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what it was. Can you say it one more time?
It's just that the PMB asked the ED to work with the HR director as opposed to directing the HR director directly.
Okay, thank you.
So the amendment's approved without objection. Now the amended motion.
The amended motion, is there any objections? Okay, hearing none, let's move on.
Well, Julie, before we do that, Dan has made a point that the PMB hasn't dealt with the issue. So as coordinating committee, we're supposed to coordinate board activities. The question is, to whom should this get kicked? Personnel committee? Governance committee? Should we do it? Who on the board, what body on the board is going to take responsibility for moving it?
Why don't we get the information first, Dave? We can deal with that in Berkeley.
Okay.
And I can add it as well to a subsequent
to the 14th.
Agenda. To the 14th.
Yeah.
That does bring up an important triage point that we may consider on the coordinating committee, whether we want to seriously take up the triage function, is to say referring specifically, like that may be something, make recommendations at least to the PMB about where different things might be referred to that we come across.
I thought that was our function.
Yeah, but we haven't been doing it. and wanted, you know, maybe we should just focus on that as a part of our meeting, triage. As motions, as recommendations.
As recommendations?
Yeah. Well, I think
that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking stuff as it comes in from you guys in our conversations about issues that are going on and what the board needs to be doing, and we should be directing, we should be basically saying this should go here, this should go there, and that's how we're coordinating board activities so that the various committees get fed the things they need to deal with, and as things come up where we don't know where we go, we advise the board on what we think should be done to resolve the issue. So this is a perfect example, and the resolution suggested by Ambrose was that we deal with it at the PMB meeting or that Julie will put it on the agenda for the 14th or what?
Yeah, my recommendation would be to put it on the agenda for the 14th in the context of the recommendation that the board form a personnel committee, and I think that that personnel...
Now the 14th is the CC committee meeting or the PMB meeting?
The 13th is PMB, 14th is CC.
CC, so the 14th
is hold it over to the next CC meeting.
Okay.
And I think we ought to recommend that the HR committee be formed, the personnel committee be formed, because so, this kind of stuff keeps coming up.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Okay, and I will be more diligent about keeping our focus with
point of information or order
referrals.
Julie, point of order. There
yes.
is a personnel committee of the PNB.
Yeah, we need to make sure that it's convened.
Can our officers do that?
Ambrose, would you have an objection to have them making the referral to the yet formed HR committee personnel?
Yes. I would have no problem with it, except we have to deal with what's existing now.
Yeah.
The personnel committee exists, has membership, but they haven't functioned.
All I'm asking for, I guess, I mean, they can do it. They've talked about it a couple of times.
You're asking for
lately,
time.
But if the chair could issue a reminder to that committee to convene.
Who is SARV still the convener?
He hasn't been voted off as convener.
Okay, I'll call SARV.
Okay, thank you.